If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28, Brother Tim, if you could help me just a little more right here by the pulpit. I know we've been in the book of Acts on Sunday evening, but I was led to this passage in an odd way. Some of it I was reading through Genesis again, and I'll share in a moment some of the rest of that. I'll read just a couple of three verses now. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, it's certainly been good to be in the house of the Lord. Jacob, you know, isn't this amazing? This incident happened just right around 4,000 years ago, and it still resonates with us. You want to know why? Because people are still people and God is still God. Amen. 4,000 years. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. You can be seated tonight. I want to just briefly speak on God sends a ladder down. God sends a ladder down. I told you this kind of came out interesting because I had just read this and I saw a little video clip, and it's one of those things you don't really pay a lot of attention to, but something kept getting a hold of me about it. What it was, and you grow to understand what's happening as you watch, but this mother bear had led her three cubs into a dumpster, and she was able to get out, but they weren't. And somebody was trying to think of a way to help them. And here's that mother bear kind of guarding that dumpster. And they got a pickup truck, and somebody got in the back with a ladder. And you can see him cautiously backing up to the dumpster. And the one in the back with the ladder, he quickly slides that ladder. There's that mother bear. He slides that ladder down into the dumpster. And then in the film there, the pickup truck, it pulls away. And pretty soon, sure enough, here comes the first cub up the ladder and out the dumpster. Here comes the second. And here comes the third. I mean, they rescued. Those cubs were in a bad place. And somebody put a ladder down and brought them out of that bad place. Now, I'm going to get way ahead of myself, but could I just say tonight, in the context of what we've been singing and things, some of us know exactly what we're talking about tonight. You were in a bad spot, and you couldn't get out on your own. You could not extract yourself from the mess you were in. And God sent a ladder down. And he brought you out. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we've been singing about tonight? And that's what we're going to see in Jacob's life. I mean, Jacob is in a tough spot. He's had to leave home. He's out in the terrain that is not a good terrain. He's left everything that is familiar. He's deceived his father. He's stolen his brother's birthright. He's had of necessity to leave everything that was familiar. And here he is on his journey to a foreign land, and he's out in a desolate place in a tough spot. Now, I want you to notice something about this. First of all, this tough place that Jacob was in was of his own making. You know, sometimes when bad things happen to people that's not their fault, we're ready with compassion, and we're ready with mercy, and we're ready to help. But sometimes when they really, really just got what they deserved, we're not so ready to help them. I'm telling you what, Jacob deserved every bad thing that he got and more because of the deceiver he had been. But aren't you glad our God's not like that? It can be trouble of our own making, and he'll still help us and bring us out. I mean, this tough spot Jacob was in, it was his fault. He had done a bad thing. He had come to this place because of his wrong decisions. It had been a sad parting. Amen. And so here he is, way out, away from everything. And in this whole situation, this whole place that we're going to learn is called Bethel. It seems like an insignificant thing that brings about this wonderful event in Jacob's life. I mean, he makes seemingly an insignificant choice. Why did he choose this spot? He didn't feel led to it. He didn't feel divine guidance. He chose that spot simply, the Bible tells us, because the sun was going down. It was getting dark. It was just another day getting dark. And when it gets dark, you've got to find a place to sleep. And that's how that place was determined. Just another day, another nightfall, another time of going to bed. But it's going to change everything about Jacob's life. You know, you might have come in here tonight and say, this is just another Sunday night. It's just another day of the week in my life. It's just another service and another sermon in my experience. But I'm telling you, it's never just another with God. He knows how to come by in a seemingly insignificant, same old event, and he knows how to speak to us. I mean, that's the reason Jacob chose this place. It's nighttime. You got to sleep. It's a remote place. Nobody else is around. If somebody else had been around, he'd been seeking a place in their home for the night, to rest at night. Nobody else is around. He's used to seeing the tent of his mother, his father, his family. He's used to seeing the servants all around, and here he is in this remote place. It's a desolate place. We learn that it's a pile of rocks there, and there's no sound of the flocks. I mean, he's way out in nowhere, and it's a wild place. I think as he was trying to go to sleep, he heard the howling of the wild animals, and all those things are true. It was remote. It was desolate. It was wild. But it was going to be the place that God made himself known. You see, it's not so important what kind of position we find ourselves in. What's important is even there, God can make himself known to us. Maybe you're that way tonight. Maybe you think you're in that kind of place. And maybe you are. Maybe it's remote. You feel lonely. You feel distant. I'm not talking about being away from people, even amongst people. You feel like you're remote, nobody around, lonely. Amen. You may feel dry. You may feel empty. It may truly be a remote, desolate place in your experience. But the place doesn't matter. God knows how to get to us, whatever place that we're in. And that's the lesson from Jacob. Even no one else, I really believe this, at that moment on planet Earth, nobody else knew where Jacob was. But God knew. How many's ever been to that place? And maybe it's inwardly, but nobody really knew where you were at. Amen. God knows. You see what I'm trying to say? God knew how to bring what Jacob needed to him and allow Jacob to get what he needed. He knew how to make a connection with the lonely spot that Jacob was in. And what happened? He lay down to sleep and he made stones for pillows. And he dreamed a dream. And behold, a ladder or a stairway was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending. You got to understand some things. First of all, God took the initiative. You know, really, Jacob should have been calling on God. How many knows that? Jacob should have been saying, oh, God, forgive me. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've deceived. Jacob should have been saying, God, my life's in a mess. Look, I've had to leave home. It got so bad. Jacob should have taken the initiative. But I want you to know something. God took the initiative. Even when Jacob wasn't reaching out to him, God reached down to him. You know, sometimes we get in situations we should be taking the initiative. We should be hitting the altar harder. We should be reaching out to God more. But I'm telling you, we serve a gracious God. Even when we're not taking the initiative, he'll take the initiative. He'll come by in the service and his spirit will come all over. We don't deserve it. We shouldn't have that. But it's just God taking the initiative and reaching out. How many knows God does that sometimes? Hallelujah. God took the initiative and reaching out to Jacob. Jacob wasn't particularly seeking God. God always, though, reaches out first. If you go backwards and run your life, rewind your spiritual life, I guarantee you one thing. God reached out to you and me before we ever reached out to him. He took the initiative. And what did he do? God made a connection between heaven and earth. And the connection was this ladder. Some would say stairway. It doesn't change a thing. The point is, God made a connection from heaven to the lonely place Jacob found himself in. God made a connection from heaven to the mess Jacob found himself in. God made a connection from heaven to the loneliness that Jacob found himself in. I want you to believe that tonight. I don't want this just to be a story from 4,000 years ago. You may be in a difficult place. It may be temptation. It may be feeling distant from God. It may be confusion. It may be familial problems. It may be problems at work. It may be spiritual dryness. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven that tonight knows how to make a connection between heaven and the spot that you're in. That's what that ladder was all about. It was a connection that God set up between heaven and the spot Jacob found himself in. You see, Jacob was thinking that he was all alone. And the next thing he knows, there's angels coming and going between his spot and heaven. And he looks higher on the top of that ladder, and there is God in heaven himself. I'm telling you, you can think you're all alone in your problem, but if you'll give God a moment, he'll make a connection, and suddenly you'll realize that you are not alone. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the connection. The ladder was the connection. The angels, I told you this morning, angels are messengers going up and down, were evidence that Jacob's word could get to heaven and God's word could get to Jacob. That's what those angels going, you mean they're messengers. They were taking Jacob's message to God and God's messages to Jacob. Glory to God. Amen. You felt like your prayers weren't getting through. You felt like the ceiling was brass. You felt like it did no good to pray. But all of a sudden, God set up a ladder between heaven and earth and sent a messenger to take your prayers to heaven and God's word back to you. You say, oh, that's just a nice picture. No, it's more than that. Amen. It goes way beyond Jacob. Because of man's sin, because of man's heart, even man was separated from God. How many knows that our sin separated us from God? I mean, there was a big distance, an impassable gulf and distance between the spot on earth that we were in and this place in heaven where the holy God dwelt. But one day God sent a ladder. How many knows who that ladder was? It was Jesus Christ. If you don't believe he's the ladder, you turn to John 1, and he told Nathaniel, he said, if you'll follow me, you will see me as that ladder with the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What was Jesus saying? I am that ladder. There was an impassable gap between men and their lostness and God and his holiness, but Jesus became the connection. He's the access to the Father. He's the way to the Father. He's the mediator between. And I want to tell you tonight, wherever you find yourself, you have Jesus between heaven and you, the great mediator and advocate. God spanned the gap. Jesus is a connection. And so tonight, whatever place you find yourself in, however lonely and barren and undesirable, God is able to, at that place you're in, connect you to heaven. Verse 13. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And went on with that promise. But the thing I want you to notice, God could have really let Jacob have it. And Jacob deserved it. He could have said, look what a mess you've made of your life. Had to leave home, stirred up trouble in your father's house, been a liar and a deceiver. Don't you realize God could have really let Jacob have it? He could have started out with a reprimand and a rebuke. Brother Norvell, though Jacob deserved that, God did not rebuke and reprimand Jacob. He gave him a promise. How many knows we serve that kind of gracious God? We may deserve for God to really let us have it. And what does he do? He comes by and said, I want you to know something. I got a promise for you. Hallelujah. He could have dwelt on the mess Jacob had in his past, but instead God dwelt on the future Jacob could have in following the Lord. What a God. Instead of berating Jacob for his past, God spoke of the promise of his future. Verse 15, look what he said. God said, behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places wherein thou goest, and I will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob was burdened with his past. He was discouraged with the present, being in that place. But God gave him hope of the future and said, I will be with you. You thought you'd have to take this trip to Syria alone. But no, Jacob, I'm going to be with you, and there's a brighter day ahead. I want you to notice just the last part of verse 15. Not only did God say, I'll not leave you. Now, Jacob deserved that. You know, that means something to Jacob because he's lost all his family. He's alone. But God said, I'll not leave you. But he not only said that, he said, I'll be with you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You know, when a person gets saved and begins to serve the Lord, I mean, they understand the wonderful things that God has and God can do in the future. But that Satan comes along and begins to say, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, this is too hard. And pretty soon, though we would never put it in words, we begin to assume that God's abandoned us and we're not going to make it. And we're not going to see it. But I'm telling you, that's a lie of Satan. What he has begun in you, he will perform it. Isn't that what he said to Jacob? I'm beginning something in you right here at this spot. And I want you to know something, Jacob. I'm not going to leave you until I've performed it. I've brought you again to this land, and I've given it to you. Verse 17, Jacob was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Even I skipped to verse 16. Jacob waked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. What was the choir singing? He is in the house. I want to say with all surety, 4,000 years later, but God was in this place tonight. Amen. Jacob was saying, I was in an awful place and I never dreamed that God would have been here, but I found God even in the awful place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I knew not. You know, I really don't think in a church service it's a matter of God not being here. I think it's a matter so often we just don't recognize that he is. We don't acknowledge that he is. How many times has God showed up trying to help somebody, but they were never aware that God was speaking the word to them, reaching to them? It don't have to be that way. We can say, God, you're in this place and I recognize it, and I'm ready for the help you have for me. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. Verse 17, he was afraid and said, this is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He later named the place Bethel, the house of God. Amen. But see, I want you to know something. Jacob would have never felt that way about that place had God not sent the ladder down and made the connection between heaven and earth. He encountered God there. And so now the barren place, the remote place, the wild place becomes the place he met God. It becomes the place of the house of the Lord. How many's already found that in the desperate trial, in the very hard situation, in the very lonely place, the confused place, all of a sudden that place is changed by the presence of God, and you could even call your trial and temptation the house of the Lord because God showed up. Oh, how many believes he can show up tonight? You see, wherever one meets with God, wherever the door of heaven is open, the ladder is sent down and connection is made, that becomes the house of God. And notice what Jacob said. He realized what I'm preaching tonight. He said, this is the gate of heaven. God has set up a connection, a gate to heaven. You know, I thought of a real crude and simple illustration here. You see, I believe God is trying to open up gates to heaven, send ladders down for so many people in so many situations. I really believe that, even tonight in this service. But the illustration I thought of, not so much anymore, but used to, and you had a large family or with extended family, and you were renting a motel for the night, you get adjoining rooms. And you know, of necessity, so they can rent those at other times when you don't want a connection between the rooms, they have those doors set up. There's a door with a doorknob on your side, and there's a door with a doorknob on their side. And you can unlock your door and turn your doorknob. But if they don't unlock their doorknob and turn their doorknob, you can stand there and knock or whatever, and there's just not access. You open that door, but then if there's going to be access, they're going to have to unlock and open the door. You see, there's a gate to heaven tonight, and you know what I believe? I believe God has already unlocked the door, turned the doorknob, got his door wide open. The question is, are we going to open the door on our side so he can make the connection to our hearts? Aren't you glad to know there's a God that knows where we're at and he makes connection? Would you stand across the building? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you did reach way down and you lifted us and you brought us out. Lord, tonight I pray for somebody that feels like they're in that remote, barren, desolate, hard place. And perhaps it is of their own making. But Lord, you know how to reach down to them tonight, make connection. And they can leave here saying, God opened up the gate to heaven. He sent the message through. He gave me strength. He gave me promise. He could have been harsh with me. Instead, God encouraged me and strengthened me. God helped me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, whatever situation that you're in, the thing you need most is for God to come to you. I wonder if there's anyone tonight that feels like a Jacob in a hard place and you need a connection with heaven tonight. Would you just begin to come and say, that's me. I feel like Jacob must have felt isolated from my family, perhaps because of the need. I just need a ladder from heaven. I need God. Amen. By coming, what you're doing, you're saying God has opened up his door on his side, but I'm going to open up my door on my side. Are there others that would join these tonight and say, like Jacob, right here in the place that I have found myself, amen, I'm believing God, amen, to make that connection from heaven to my heart, my life, my situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name. Are there others you'd like to come and say, I need to hear from heaven tonight? I need my prayers to get through, and I need God to send his word to me. I need those angels ascending and descending. Oh, Jesus is our ladder. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I'm going to acknowledge it. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you don't see how it's going to work out for you. Reach out to the Lord. In the presence of Jehovah. In the presence of Jehovah. Come on, I want you to believe tonight he's going to make a connection between heaven and your heart. Let's seek him tonight. Those of you that come, begin to reach out to him. Know that he's a merciful, loving, caring God. He'll open the windows of heaven. He'll make that connection tonight. Pray for those that couldn't come tonight. Sickness, difficult trial in their life. Maybe they're at home right now, but God's extending the ladder from heaven right into their home. Oh, hallelujah. God's sending the angels, the messengers. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, minister to these tonight. Jesus, minister to these tonight. Oh, I'm like Jacob. I feel the desolation of the place that I'm in. But oh, God, you extend the ladder of your grace and the ladder of your mercy. You send me a word. Let's reach out to him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. God is helping folks in this altar. Reach out to him. Lord, I need you. Extend your ladder into my life. God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh.